Second Chronicles, chapter 1. If you have cell phones, make sure you turn those things down. Make sure they vibrate on, not ring. I've got a sign right here that says, turn off cell phone. And half the time, I forget to announce it, and half the time I forgot to turn mine off too. So, but we want to make sure that we turn them off. Second Chronicles, chapter 1, verse 1. And Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly. Then Solomon spake unto all Israel, to the captains of thousands and of hundreds, and to the judges and to every governor in all Israel, the chief of the fathers. So Solomon and all the congregation with him went to the high place that was at Gibeon, for there was the tabernacle of the congregation of God, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness. But the ark of God had David brought up from Kirjath-Jearim to the place where David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. Moreover, the brazen altar that Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of the Lord, and Solomon and the congregation sought unto it. And Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. Can you imagine 1,000 burnt offerings? It must have taken a while. Verse 7. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. And I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the other kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. Let's pray. Father, again, Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you open our ears and our hearts to your word this morning. Father, help us to learn, Lord, as the whole council is taught. Lord, help us learn what you would have us learn today, Lord. And I pray that you'll give people convictions today, Lord. If there is somebody here today, Lord, that isn't saved, I pray, Lord, that they will, for the first time, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, and receive him today as their Savior. And, Lord, I pray that those Christians that are in here today, Lord, I pray if there's something in their life that they need to take care of, Lord, that's displeasing to you. If there's sin in their life, Lord, I pray they'll repent of it today and, Lord, and just get clean before you, Lord, and restore that fellowship. Lord, be with us, Lord. Be with those that are hurting today, Lord. Be with those that are sick and watching, Lord, from home. And, Lord, be with me as I bring the message, Lord, that I not have stammering lips, Lord, and that I stay focused on your word so that your word goes in the hearts of these people. Speak to us, Lord. We're here to hear from you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you could ask God for anything today, what would it be? What would you ask him for? Would you ask him to allow you to be wealthy? Would you ask him to maybe give you influence with other people? Maybe you would ask him for power. Maybe you would ask God this morning to allow you to get your health back the way it used to be back when you were a teenager. You know, I see these children running around. I'm thinking to myself, boy, if I had that much energy, wouldn't it be nice to have that again? Amen. But, you know, maybe you would be one who would pray that the Lord let you feel well like you used to. Maybe let you hear like you used to be able to hear, let you see like you used to be able to see. That would be pretty nice, wouldn't it? How about peace within your family? Maybe some of you today are not having peace within the family and things are going on. What would you ask God for if you knew that he would give you anything that you asked for? We live in a time where most people would probably ask for money, okay? But what would you ask God for? In these opening verses this morning, God asked a man this very question. In verse 7, if you'll notice, it says, in that night God appeared unto Solomon and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. He is saying, Solomon, you can ask anything you want of me, and I'm going to give it to you. Isn't that a tremendous statement? Ask anything that you want. Listen, God can give anybody anything. He's the one who owns the cows on 1,000 hills. And he said, Solomon, whatever it is you want, whatever your heart's desire is, just ask and I'll give it to you. And then we see the response of Solomon in verse 10. He says, give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people, who can judge this thy people that is so great. So he asks for wisdom, knowledge. And then look at what God says in verse 11. And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches or wealth or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but as hast wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. God was saying, because it was in your heart to ask for wisdom, I'm going to give you everything that you didn't even ask for. I'm going to give you wisdom, and then everything on top of that are the things you didn't ask for. Would you agree this morning that wisdom is a pretty high priority with the Lord? I mean, can you imagine, of all the things that he could have asked for, he asked for wisdom, and God rewarded him much more than what he asked for because he asked for wisdom. And so you can kind of tell that wisdom is pretty close to the heart of God. In fact, it's such a priority of the Lord that he's made it possible for every child of God on the earth today to get wisdom. And we're not talking about earthly wisdom. We're talking about wisdom from above. We're talking about heavenly wisdom. That's what Solomon was looking for. Hey, listen, Solomon was in the kingdom. I'm sure he had earthly wisdom, a lot of it. But what he needed was real wisdom, wisdom from above. And that's what he asked for. And so he didn't ask for other things he could have asked for. I mean, if you think about it, Solomon was the king of Israel, and so he had enemies on every side of him wanting to kill him. I mean, he could have asked for his enemies to be taken care of, or God take vengeance on his enemies. If you also think about it, Solomon had also one of the most dysfunctional families that you will ever see in the Bible. I mean, of all the people in the Bible, nobody had a more dysfunctional family than Solomon did. If you think about this, he had 5 stepmothers, none of whom thought he should be king. He had half-brothers and half-sisters who were weird. How many of you have ever met somebody that was weird? How many of you are sitting next to somebody that's weird this morning? Amen? Solomon's family they were a mess. And one of the, you know, if you think, this, now listen to this family. This is this family that he came from. One of his brothers raped his sister. Another brother killed that brother for doing that. And then Solomon had another brother that tried to take the kingdom from his father David, and he was killed for that. I mean, what a mess. Not only that, but Solomon was also the son of the greatest king that Israel ever had in King David. So the pressure of being a good king was on him every day, because he knew that people would compare him to his father David. But he never asked to be as good as David. He never asked for that. Not only that, but think about the stigma that Solomon faced and that he was living under. You see, his mother was Bathsheba, and Solomon was the second son of David and Bathsheba. And all the nation of Israel and all of his enemies would have known what happened between David and Bathsheba. Can you imagine the stigma that came with that? Can you imagine the snide comments that he heard over the years because of the sins of his parents? Solomon had to live with that. But Solomon didn't ask God to fix the problems he had in his family. He didn't ask God to fix that. Solomon could have asked for anything that he wanted that day. And to tell you the truth, just about anything he would have asked for would have been reasonable. But Solomon asked for the one thing that grabbed the heart of God. Solomon asked for wisdom from above. That's what he asked for. Now, I will say that we have to be careful when we think about what wisdom is, because a lot of people think that wisdom and knowledge are the same thing. Wisdom and knowledge are not the same thing. Knowledge is knowing something. In fact, the word know is the base word of knowledge. Okay, it means you know some things. Everybody in here knows some things. There are a lot of people that know many things, but that doesn't mean they're wise. Amen? I mean, Stephen Hawking. I don't know if you all know who Stephen Hawking was, but he was perhaps the best known physicist in the world, and he is considered one of the brightest minds of modern physics. He had knowledge of many things, but Stephen Hawking was an atheist. See, he knew a lot of things, but he was an atheist. He had knowledge, but at the same time, the Bible calls him a fool. Psalm 14:1 says, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So Stephen Hawking had knowledge, but he didn't have wisdom. Knowledge never equates to wisdom. And God never said that knowledge is the key. He said wisdom is the key. Now turn, if you would, over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, and I want to show you what God has to say about wisdom. How God says that wisdom is so important. You see, wisdom is important to God. For His children to have wisdom is important to God. And He describes wisdom in Proverbs chapter 3. Now here in Proverbs chapter 3, here's what God says about wisdom. Look at verse 13. He says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. You know, I think everybody wants to be happy in life. I know I do. I mean, I would much rather be happy than sad. Amen. We all want to be happy. But God says here, He says, if you want to be happy, then you got to have wisdom. Look at verse 13 again. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. You know, a lot of people today think that happiness can be found in wealth. They say, boy, you know, if I could just win the lottery, I'd be happy. Or if I could just have $1 million, I'd be happy. We sit there and we watch these sports figures that get paid $250 million for 5 years for playing basketball. Have you ever thought about how much money $250 million is? Do you realize that there's nobody probably in this room that will ever make $1 million in your lifetime, if you do remember your pastor, okay? But I'm just saying there's a good chance that none of you will ever make $1 million in your entire life. They get $250 million for 5 years for dribbling a basketball. I think they ought to pay me half of that, and I'll go dribble. Amen? I'd do it for $100,000. You know? But what I'm saying is this, is when we see things like that, we start to think, boy, I'd like to have even just $1 million. Just $1 million. But you know, money doesn't bring happiness, because when you get money, you know what happens? You want more. You want more money. Solomon himself said in Ecclesiastes 4:8, he says, there is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother. Yet is there no end of all of his labor, neither is his eye satisfied with riches. The more you make, the more you're going to want. The more you make, the more you're going to spend. That's the reason why wealth will never make you happy. If somebody were to give you $1 million today, within 10 years, you know what you'd want? 2 million, maybe 3 million. And you know what? You look at your bank account and you'll be just as broke after all the bills are paid as you are right now. You'll probably have more assets, but you'll still be broke, man. So wealth doesn't bring happiness. And so God says here in Proverbs chapter 3 that if you have to choose between wealth and wisdom, always, always choose wisdom. Because wisdom is better than merchandise of silver and the gain thereof of fine gold. Look at what God says in the next verse. Look at verse 15. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. God is saying here that there's not even one thing in this life that you could possibly desire that even comes close to wisdom. Not one thing. And then in verses 16 through 18, you're told of some of the things that you can look forward to if you have the wisdom of God. Look at verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand. How many of you would like to have length of days? Amen? Got to be wise to have that. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold on her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Length of days, riches and honor, pleasantness, peace, everlasting life, and happiness. Boy, I'd say that's worth more than any gold or silver, wouldn't you say? Now, how do we get wisdom? How do we get the wisdom that Solomon asked for? How do we get that heavenly wisdom? Well, turn, if you would, to the book of James. The book of James. The book of James tells us how we can get that wisdom from above. And you're going to notice that what he tells us in the book of James is exactly the same thing that Solomon did. And Solomon received the wisdom from above. Book of James. James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, it tells us that there are three simple things that we must do if we were going to receive the same wisdom from above that Solomon received. And if you do these things, the Bible promises that we will indeed receive wisdom from God. James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, start reading with me in verse 5, because we're going to see the very first thing that we must do if we are going to get the wisdom from heaven. Notice in James 1, chapter 1, verse 5, it says, If any of you lack wisdom. Now, if we want wisdom from above, here's the first thing you have to do. You have to admit to God that you don't have wisdom. You have to admit to God that you don't have wisdom. If you were to look back there in the book of Solomon, in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, when God asked Solomon what he wanted, Solomon said this. He said, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great?" What he's saying was this. He's saying, "Lord, I need wisdom from you because I don't have the wisdom it takes to do what you want me to do." You see, God wanted him to be king over Israel. He was the one who succeeded David. He was the king now. He was responsible for all these people. He was responsible for making the right choices and making the right decisions with all these people. And there are a whole lot of them, because even Solomon said that they're like the sand. There are tons of them. There's millions of them. And he said, "Listen, I cannot be the king that I need to be, Lord. I need your wisdom." You know what he did? He admitted to the Lord that he didn't have that wisdom. He admitted, "Lord, that, listen, my wisdom isn't going to make it." He's saying, "Lord, I'm not smart enough to do what you want me to do. I can't make the right decisions." You say, what is wisdom? Wisdom is basically knowing when to do something. You know, knowing about something, when to do something, and how to do something. That's wisdom, and that's what he was asking for. He said, "Give me this wisdom and knowledge. I may go out and come in before this people. Who can judge this thy people that is so great?" And so he was admitting that he did not have the wisdom that he was looking for. He did not have the wisdom of heaven. What would it take for you this morning to say to God, "Lord, I don't have the wisdom, and I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have the wisdom I need, and I don't know what I'm doing. Without your wisdom, Lord, I can't raise these children. Lord, without your wisdom, I can't be the husband or wife that I need to be. Lord, without your wisdom, I cannot be the Christian that you need me to be. Lord, I need your wisdom." What would it take for you to say that to the Lord this morning? I'm just going to tell you that the wisdom that you have, this earthly wisdom, is not going to teach you to be the parent that you need to be. The wisdom of this world is not going to teach you to be the spouse that you need to be. The wisdom of this world is not going to teach, certainly isn't going to teach you to be the Christian that you need to be. Listen, if you listen to the wisdom of this world, you know what it's going to do? It's going to mess those things up. Wouldn't you agree that God, the one who wrote the book, the one who established marriage in the first place, the God who knows more about running the home than anybody else, the one who knows all about these things, he says, "You need my wisdom." But in order for you to get it, the first thing you have to do is admit to the fact that you don't have it. You don't have it. That's a first step. Admitting to the Lord that you lack wisdom. And admitting to the Lord that the wisdom that you do have, this earthly wisdom, isn't going to cut it. Problem is, so many times we're too proud to admit that we need wisdom from above. It seems that was, you know, when we're talented, or if we're gifted, or if we have experience, then we think that our wisdom is enough. We think that if we have those things, we think, I've been living for a long time. I know some things. Well, you may know some things, but that doesn't mean you have wisdom from above. How many of you ever heard of somebody saying that person over here, he's just an old fool? Well, I tell you, there's young fools and old fools. Amen? There are fools everywhere. And what, just because you've lived for a long time, yeah, you've got some earthly experience. You've got some earthly wisdom. But what you need is heavenly wisdom. What I'm trying to say is this. You've got your way of doing things. God got his way of doing things. And wouldn't you agree this morning that God's way of doing things is a bit better than ours? That's the difference between your wisdom and worldly wisdom and his wisdom. But so many times we get vain and puffed up and we think that our worldly wisdom is enough, and we become so used to not having God's wisdom, and we have become so used to doing things according to our own wisdom, that we wouldn't even dream of humbling ourselves and admitting to God that we don't know everything and we don't know what we're doing. And then when we fail, we cry out to God to come and sweep up the pieces and clean everything up. There is no substitution when it comes to wisdom that God can give you. Now, if you have experience in this world, praise God. But honestly, you know what that experience should teach you? If you've lived for a while and you've been learning, you know some things that's going on in the world, and you're what they call street smart, and you have experience, you know what that should teach you? That you're not able to do it on your own. That you really don't have the wisdom that it takes to be what you need to be. That's what it should teach you. Folks, we all need the wisdom that Solomon asked for. We all need that wisdom. Question is, are we going to ask God for it? Experience should show you that you should humble yourself and acknowledge to God that you lack wisdom. God already knows that you lack wisdom, but when was the last time you actually humbled yourself and admitted it to him? Do you want wisdom this morning? It starts by you humbling yourself, admitting to God that you don't have it. Second thing, according to the book of James, chapter 1, is that not only are you to admit to God that you don't have the godly wisdom that you need, but the second thing, if you want wisdom from above, you have to ask for it. You have to ask for it. Notice in James chapter 1, look at verse 5 again. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the land or with the wind and tossed. God's saying, if you want my wisdom, if you want wisdom from above, I will give it to you. But you have to admit that you lack for it, and then you have to actually ask for it. Again, when it came to Solomon, back in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, it says, and God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, so it was in his heart, he was thinking about it, because this was in thine heart, that thou hast not asked for riches, wealth, honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. You know what? He could have sat there and thought about him needing wisdom. He could have even admitted that he needed wisdom. But at the end of the day, he had to ask for it. He had to ask. He had to say, Lord, I need you to give me wisdom. And that's what he did. And God says if we'll admit that we lack wisdom, and if we'll just ask for wisdom, then he'll give us wisdom liberally, just like he did with Solomon, meaning that you'll get more than you'll ever need. The Lord said, it doesn't matter how many times that you ask me for wisdom, I'll never upbraid you or rebuke you for asking for it. You're never going to make God mad by asking him for wisdom. You can ask wisdom of him every day, and he's not going to upbraid you for it. So if you want God's wisdom, and you don't have wisdom this morning, it's because you haven't asked for it. You haven't asked for it. How do we know that? Because James 4:2 says this, ye have not because you ask not. If you do not have heavenly wisdom today, because you haven't asked for it. God says that of all the other things that we could possibly desire, nothing compares to the wisdom from heaven. And yet most of us ask God for things of way lesser value. We ask him for, help me out with this, and help me out with the finances, and help gas to go down, help milk to be affordable, and things like that. That's nothing compared to the wisdom that we should be asking for. So, number one, if you want wisdom, number one, humble yourself and admit to God that you don't have wisdom. Number two, if you don't have wisdom, ask for it. And then the third thing, if you don't have godly wisdom this morning, not only must you ask, but you must ask believing that he's going to give it to you. If I were to ask you today to raise your hand, don't do it, but if I were to ask you to raise your hands today, if I said, how many of you think that you could ever be as wise as Solomon? I doubt there'd be a hand in this room that'd go up. You know what that is? Did Solomon ask for wisdom? Yes. Did he believe he was going to get it? Yes. And did that Bible say that if you ask believing, he'll give you godly wisdom? Is not godly wisdom the same thing he gave to Solomon? You know what that Bible's telling you? That Bible's telling you that you could have the same wisdom that Solomon had. Oh, no, Pastor, no. Solomon was one of the smartest, wisest people in all the Bible. He was the wisest person in all the Bible. Yeah, but it says here that he'll give it to you liberally. He'll give you more than you need. He'll give you the same godly wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 6, it says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. If I asked you this morning, do you think you could get the same wisdom that Solomon had? And if you don't raise your hand and say yes, you know what that Bible's saying? They're saying that you're asking without believing. That's what you're saying. You're saying, I don't believe. I don't believe God can give me that wisdom. Well, that's what it's talking about. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. It's not enough just to humble yourself and admit to God that you lack wisdom. It's not enough just to ask God for wisdom. You have to ask believing that he's going to give you that wisdom. Now, folks, I'm just going to tell you, this is not a new rule in the Bible, and it doesn't just apply to wisdom. Everything that you ask for, you must ask believing, or the Lord isn't going to answer your prayer. James chapter 1, verse 7, look what it says. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything. In other words, it says, let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You know what he's saying? That anything that you ask of the Lord, if you don't ask it in faith, you're not going to receive it. You got to ask believing. You say, why is that? Well, think about this. If you ask the Lord not believing that he can do something, you realize you're telling your Creator that he is not able to do something or not willing to do something. That's a kind of a slap in the face, wouldn't you say? And so if you ask God for something you don't believe he's able to give it to you, then you're wasting your time asking God for anything. And that includes wisdom. Mark chapter 11, verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall receive them. You see, you got to believe. Faith is not just the thing that saves you. It's everything else too. Listen, if you're not saved here this morning, you know how you're saved? By faith. By putting your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Believing that he died for your sins. And that he rose again the third day. And that he was buried and rose again the third day. You got to believe that. That's the reason we're called believers. Amen? That's what faith is. And listen, that Bible says you're not going to receive anything if you don't believe God can do it. If you don't have any faith when you're asking, you're not going to receive it. In other words, you just saying the words, Lord, save me of my sins. I believe that you died on the cross for me. Well, just saying those words they ain't going to save anybody. You have to believe those words. And the moment you believe it, you're saved. Amen? That principle's all the way through that Bible. You know, let me tell you why it was accounted under Abraham for righteousness. Bible says because he believed God. God said, Abraham, I'm going to make sure that your offspring would be of the sand of the sea. Your seed is going to be the sand of the sea. There are going to be Jews all over the place. They're all going to come from you, Abraham, and it's all going to come from this son of yours named Isaac. You know what that Bible says? The Bible says that Abraham believed God. So much so he took Isaac up on top of the mountain and was going to kill him, thinking that God had to bring him back to life because God made a promise. And it says it is accounted unto Abraham under righteousness because he believed God. Believing God is the most important thing to him, folks. You got to believe. That's the reason faith, all the way through that Bible, you're saved by faith. Abraham believed God, he'll count on him for righteousness. David believed God, And it was counted unto him for righteousness. Today, if you're saved, you have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's counted unto you for righteousness. Anything that you ask, you must ask believing. That's always true always through the Bible. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. Without doubting. That means you got to believe. If you acknowledge that you lack wisdom and you ask for wisdom, do you think he's going to give it to you this morning? Well, if you say, well, no, I don't think so, then you're wasting your time asking. But if you actually think that he will give it to you, then he'll give you wisdom. But I want you to remember something, folks. Sometimes we say, well, I could never be as wise as Solomon. Yes, you can. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to blow your socks off. You ready for this? You can even be wiser. If you ask God for wisdom today, you can have the wisdom of Solomon. You could be as wise as Solomon was. Everybody's saying, oh, now, come on, Pastor. I mean, come on. I mean, Solomon, he wrote Proverbs. He wrote Ecclesiastes. He wrote Song of Solomon. He was. When I think of wisdom, if I look at wisdom in the dictionary, there's Solomon right there. Amen? That's the way we think, because we really don't believe God's going to keep his promises. For some reason, we keep on doubting God. Christians today doubt that they stay saved once they're saved. But when God said plainly that you have everlasting life, last time I checked, everlasting means that, well, it lasts forever. Amen? But we have a problem believing God. Isn't it something that we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and we would trust him with our soul because we believe, but when it comes to everything else, we don't believe God. We don't believe he can keep us saved. We don't believe that he can really take care of us. We don't really believe he's going to provide us everything that we need. We don't believe it when David said that he's never seen a child of God begging for bread. We don't believe those things. When it comes to getting wisdom, oh, we don't believe that. Well, Solomon's Solomon was wise, and I could get some wisdom, but I could never be as wise as Solomon. You see, we just doubt God. I'm telling you that you can be as wise as Solomon and even more. You say, how is that? Well, let me ask you, would you agree that during Solomon's day, God did things a little bit different than he does today? I'll give you an example. When God spoke to people during the time of Solomon, he came to them in dreams, and sometimes he even spoke verbally, I mean, where you could actually hear the voice of God. Okay, as you've heard me say now, if you hear the voice of God today, I'm just going to tell you need to seek help. Okay, because a booming voice of God does not come from heaven. He speaks to us through his word and a still small voice on the inside. Okay, that's how God speaks to us today. That's not how he spoke to him back in the days of Solomon. So things were different. May I tell you that God gave wisdom to people different back then than he does today as well. Well, how do you figure that, Pastor? Well, listen, Solomon said, Lord, I need wisdom so I can judge over these people of yours, Lord, because it's just too much for me. I don't have it, Lord. I'm lacking wisdom. I need it, so I'm asking, Lord, and I believe you're going to give me that wisdom if I ask it. And God says, okay, because you ask it, I'm going to give you that wisdom and even more than what you asked for. Okay? What happened? He had wisdom, just like that. Just like that. Do you know what Solomon didn't have that you have? I'll show you. Solomon didn't have that. Solomon never had a completed Word of God of 66 books. Do you know what you have inside your Bible? You have the book of Proverbs. You have the book of Ecclesiastes. You have the book of the Song of Solomon. What is that? Well, that's the wisdom of Solomon. But you have 63 other books beside those three. Amen? That's what you have. Would you agree in your Bible is found heavenly wisdom? That's what the whole thing is, folks. It's heavenly wisdom. You want to be the spouse you need to be? It's right there in the Bible. You want to be the Christian you need to be, that God wants you to be? It's right there in your Bible. You want to be the parent that you need to be? It's right there in your Bible. What do? We say, Lord, I lack wisdom. I need wisdom to be the person I need to be. I need wisdom to be the husband or the parent that I need to be, the Christian I need to be. Lord, I need wisdom to get through this life. I need wisdom to reach people that are lost. Lord, I need wisdom to handle this situation, handle that situation. It's all in the book. What do? You ask for it. And you ask believing. And then you get in that book. And you know what will happen? Is if you admit to the Lord that you don't have it, and then you ask, believing, He's going to unlock those scriptures to your understanding. And you know what you're going to get? You're going to get wisdom like Solomon never even dreamed of. Yes, he can answer that prayer. Yes, you can get the wisdom that Solomon had. You've already got it right there. And all the Lord has to do is unlock your understanding on it. So my question to you this morning is this. How bad do you want to be the parent you need to be? And how bad do you want to be the spouse you need to be? And how bad do you want to be the Christian that you need to be? How bad do you want heavenly wisdom? Do you want it bad enough that you would admit to the Lord this morning, Lord, I want those things, but I honestly don't know what I'm doing. Do you want it bad enough to say, Lord, I need your wisdom because my wisdom isn't enough? Are you willing to ask him for it this morning? You know, a lot of people, we get so proud and we get so stuck on ourselves that we think, I can handle this. I can do it. You know, especially us men, I'm just going to tell you. I mean, that's just the way we are. You know, we don't need directions to put together the grill. We can handle it. We don't need directions if we get lost in a town. We can handle it. Listen, we're all like that. But if you're going to get heavenly wisdom, you have to admit that you don't have the wisdom, and then you have to ask for it. Oh, and by the way, you got to ask believing that God's going to give it to you. And if you'll do that, you'll have the wisdom that you need, and you'll have more than what you'll need. He's going to give you more than you could ever need, and it's right there in your book. Are you willing to ask for wisdom this morning? Let's stand.